and welcome back to Friends on 15th Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Lee, and of course, I'm joined here today by our Executive Director, Chris Moore.
Good morning.
And our Office Admin, Shakira Holloway.
Good morning, everyone.
How y'all doing today?
Very fine, very fine.
Today is October the 31st.
Halloween.
Ooh. Halloween.
Halloween.
And it's nice outside. It's 73, but we're going to get rained out, so.
Well, and our geothermal system's got to keep the cooling going.
Yeah. It feels really good in the building, but outside, it's a bit muggy. I hope you guys are all having a great day on Halloween. Be safe. Oh, we have a couple of things to talk about to celebrate. One being
Ed's 20-year anniversary here at Friends Center.
Mr. Ed Waters.
Yeah, woo, that's a long time to be
Ed. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's
big stuff.
It is.
That's pretty good. And Friends Child Care Center is having a parade for the little people. Mm-hmm. They're all coming in, dressed all up, looking so cute.
Who did we see this morning? A unicorn butterfly?
We saw a unicorn.
Well, she was just a unicorn.
She told us she was just a unicorn. But
a
she had on butterfly wings.
Right.
And cowboy boots. So, shout out to Lulu. She's the best.
Shout out to Lulu.
And that's Friends Center for you, where we have young people, we have little people, we have older people, all kinds of people.
A great community of people. And speaking of a great community of people, we have here some very special guests today. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Lauren Anderson. I'm Executive Director of Singing City.
Hi, I'm Cortland Matthews. I'm Singing City's Choir Admin and Office Manager.
I thought they were going to sing you guys. That was
Is that why you sung?
That's why I sung, because we have Singing City here.
All right.
Yes,
welcome.
They run a wonderful choir. Thank you. I love listening to them rehearse.
And they are a great support system for lost items. Just shout out to Cortland, because the other day I lost my AirPods and Cortland came through, and I still owe him a donut or something because I was on the verge of crying. He was like, I got you. He went underneath the desk and felt my AirPods. So
thanks, Cortland.
And there's some great history there too. So can you tell us about
Singing City actually has been in Philadelphia since 1948, and it came out of Fellowship House, which was originally a Quaker group that was charged with bringing people together from many different backgrounds, religions. It was a physical place here in Philadelphia on Brown Street, where people could talk about their differences and talk about the things they had in common and try to find some common ground and understanding. And from Fellowship House, a choir emerged, Fellowship House Choir, and eventually that became Singing City. And so its mission has always been about bringing people together and about shining a light on social justice issues. And so that work has been going on for 72 years.
Wow, 72.
Are you, or either of you, a part of the choir? Do you sing?
I do not. I like to observe. I sit on the sidelines and, you know, take it all in. Lauren does sing.
I am in the choir. I kid. My joke about Singing City is that I wouldn't be here without Singing City, because my parents met in Singing City, and my grandfather was one of the founders of Singing City.
That's so sweet. You have a long family history with them.
Yeah. So I guess that's partly why I'm here and why I'm doing this work, is because I owe my life in a way to Singing City.
That's a great connection to the organization that I did not know. I always enjoy sitting down and interviewing the tenants of the building, because we get to, you know and learn so much, you know, that we wouldn't typically talk about on an average day.
Right.
That's
when
awesome.
We're just coming to the front desk to bug you for this, bug you for that.
It's good to know more about what you guys do in your history.
Yeah. What do you do, Cortland? What do you do for Singing City?
Well, a big part of what I do is trying to keep the choir, which is all volunteer, a few exceptions. Probably right now we're getting into the holiday concert with about 75 to 85 singers, kind of give or take 15, depending on the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And most of what I do is just keeping them informed about what's going on and making sure that they're prepared for rehearsals and having a good time.
That seems like a tough job, keeping 80 folks on one accord.
It's a breeze. They're great. Pun intended.
And speaking of rehearsals, you also help us out by setting up the room. Can you talk about rehearsals? How often do you rehearse? And what's that like?
Sure. So we rehearse at the Friends Center once a week, Tuesday evenings. It's very exciting to set up that room and think about how in about 2 hours it's going to be so full of like life and energy and singing. And yeah, it's a good time. It's really great to see everyone shuffle in and get ready and start talking and catching up over the week.
Nice. You guys just had a concert.
We did.
A very successful concert. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, our opening concert for the season was a collaboration with Lyric Fest, and they concentrate on art song. So they had wonderful soloists, and then we also performed back and forth with the soloists, and the theme was on immigration. The concert was called The Road Less Traveled, and we did two performances, one in Haddonfield at the United Methodist Church there, and then our second performance was at Philadelphia Episcopal Cathedral in West Philly, which is a beautiful, really beautiful space. And it was a really rich program in terms of the texts, the poetry, the variety of styles of music, but all about what it means to, what does home mean? Leaving home, finding home, creating home, and a lot of stories about people's own experiences and migration and all of that. And it was really well received. We had good audiences and we had a good time.
So that theme of social justice is very much present
yes.
in your work still today.
Yeah.
What are some
yeah.
of the other themes you've addressed recently?
Well, last season we opened the season with a concert that was devoted to the issue of homelessness, and especially here in Philadelphia. And we had Liz Hirsch, who is the director of homeless services for the city, who came and did a talk after the concert, a sort of Q&A. She also came to talk to the choir while we were rehearsing for that. And we did a drive to collect things for homeless. It was held at the church at 4th and Race, which does have services for homeless people. Following that, a small group of singers went back to the church and made dinner and sang.
Aww.
And
so how do you guys come up with the themes? Like, how do you decide on what, you know, that season's theme will be? And deciding what songs, so is it just a theme, or are the songs that you sing also associated with the theme?
Both.
Okay.
Both. What we have is, we have a lot of committees. You know, we have a board of directors, and then we have a lot of committees. We have an artistic program committee, and that is led by our artistic director, Jeff Brillhart. But the committee itself is made up of board members, choir members, and we meet regularly throughout the year to talk. We have a 5-year plan, looking out 5 years at what our programming is going to look like. And so it's in that committee that we talk about themes and what we are interested in doing season after season. Jeff ultimately, as artistic director, is the one who shapes what the program looks like in terms of repertoire, but is also very open to suggestions from the committee. And so we work on it together. And so right now we're well into figuring out what we're going to be doing next season and the season after that. And it can change. I think when Singing City was founded, you know, maybe the hope back then was that there wouldn't be a need for a choir to have to keep raising
awareness
around social justice issues. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. And now there feels like there are even more to consider. And so trying to figure out where, you know, there's so much to choose from, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say how we come up with things exactly, but sometimes it's something that's very topical. Right now, immigration is on everyone's mind. Homelessness is a perpetual struggle and problem. So that seemed like, you know, it seemed like there's always a good moment to educate people.
So with Friend Center being the Quaker hub for peace and justice, it sure seems like a good fit to have Singing City here as our tenant. And
decided on different themes to focus on. What's been your favorite? Both of you.
Wow, that's really a tough one. I don't know that I have a favorite theme. Mm-hmm. I would say that I think that I love the season concerts. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the richest experience as being part of Singing City for many years is really the work we do in the community, the smaller concerts, when we might sing in a homeless shelter or in hospice or in places where people can't, you know, they can't get to you, so you bring the music to them. And those experiences are very personal and more intimate, and they are the most satisfying in a lot of ways. Which isn't to take away from
no, but that makes
everything
sense.
Else, but it's
meaningful.
It's very powerful and very meaningful, and you can see it on the faces.
Do you also
Courtland?
Do you attend Courtland? Do you attend the concert?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have a very unique seat for each concert. We usually I run the box office in the front of house, and so I'm usually standing in between the front door and a closed door where the choir is singing.
Okay.
And so I hear a lot of it, you know, but it's not the same as being in the house. But it's, you know, I also hear it when we're rehearsing and everything. I spent Lauren's entire response trying to rack my brain about what my favorite concert was. And I'm not sure if it's exactly a theme.
Yeah.
But I think the spring of 2017... Singing City invited two very influential conductors, Andre Thomas and Anton Armstrong, to come and work with the choir and to, you know, present some of the work that they're doing. Anton Armstrong is a faculty member at
St. Olaf,
which has a very strong choral program. And Andre Thomas is on faculty at a school in Florida. And a little bit of, you know, I'm really meandering right now.
He actually just retired, but he's been hired by Yale to be a conductor or choral person. So that's very exciting. It was just on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. All right, we're going to just take a short break, have Chris give us some updates, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Friends on 15th, the podcast coming to you from Friends Center at 15th and Cherry Streets in Center City, Philadelphia. Friends Center is the Quaker hub for peace and justice in Philadelphia. We're home to more than 40 nonprofit tenants like Singing City. We also have conference and event space for your next meeting, and we always have a nonprofit discount. You're also welcome to join Central Philadelphia Friends Meeting for Quaker Worship on Sundays at 11 a.m. And now, back to our podcast.
All right, thank you for those few notes. Chris, I wanted to actually talk to you guys about a silent and live auction that you have coming up. Very exciting. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So each year, Singing City holds an auction fundraiser. And in my experience, it's been a very exciting time. It's kind of like an evening of a little bit of food and drink and live music. Mm. And there's a silent auction where there's all kinds of interesting things that the choir as a community brings in. So we'll have anywhere from items from people's homes, ceramic, jewelry, that kind of thing. We have donations from local businesses. So last year I'm walking by looking at everything and I see a brand new pair of boxing gloves and a certificate for a certain amount of weeks of kickboxing classes.
Nice.
And lots of different tickets to museums or concerts and cultural events. Yeah. And then there's a live auction with items like just very elegantly designed quilts by some of our choir members. Like, really, I didn't know people made them.
Well, this year we are adding a new component to our fundraiser, and that is a Singing City, the Great Singing City Bake Off. So we're inviting people to, we're having a little competition on the desserts.
And what will you be bringing?
What will I be bringing? I am still working that out. I have pulled out all of my baking recipes to try to decide, but there'll be some little prizes and judging, and then everyone will get to eat the desserts. So we're looking forward to that.
So the live auction is going to be on November the 9th at the Levering Mill Tribute House. And I actually went online and looked at this place. It is gorgeous. It is such a beautiful historic building.
It's in Bala Cynwyd. And plenty of free parking. Easy to get to. It's from 4 to 7 p.m.
And how can people get tickets?
By visiting our website at singingcity.org.
How can people donate or support Singing City?
Lots of ways. Lots of wonderful ways. We welcome people to come to our concerts. That's a great way to support the choir. There's nothing like looking out and seeing a full house. And it's also just a great experience, we hope, for our audience members. But also, if people are interested in supporting our work, they should visit our website. We have a support page, and we have donation links there.
Any other events coming up, auditions? How does one be a part of Singing City? Do you have to know how to sing to be in a choir?
Everybody knows how to sing already, and everybody can sing. But
some do it better than others. It's a but. It's okay.
The first thing that I would encourage people interested in learning more about Singing City to do would be to come to our holiday concert, which is...
Our holiday concert coming up is on Sunday, December 15th at Old First Reformed Church of Christ at 4th and Race, and at 3 o'clock. It includes Philadelphia Brass as well as Singing City and... Te Voce, which is Teen Voices of the City Ensemble, and that is a collaborative youth choir, collaborative in the sense that Singing City, Opera Philadelphia, Esperanza Academy, Play on Philly are all banding together to create this choir for teens in the city. There are no auditions required. It's just kids who have a love of singing, who want to sing. And the rehearsals are right here at Friends Center on Saturday mornings from 10 to 12. They will be a featured part of our holiday concert. They'll be doing some of their own repertoire, and we'll be also singing one or two things with them. So it's going to be a good time.
Nice. And they actually have a concert coming up February 22nd in 2020.
Yes, that is our Winter Festival of Voices. So that will be Singing City, Te Voce, and a whole bunch of other youth choirs all coming together. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too.
Very nice.
So if somebody comes to your holiday concert and then wants to be involved, then what's the next step?
Well, if people want to get involved with Te Voce...
Singing City.
Singing City just in general, to become a choir member?
Yes.
Yeah. They need to email Cortland and let him know that they are interested in becoming part of Singing City, and then there is an audition process, and Cortland works that out with our music director, and we go from there.
Okay.
We usually hold auditions in August for the coming season, but we've been really lucky this year that we've had just a lot of interest, and we're actually setting up auditions right now for the end of 2019 for new choir members to start with us in January 2020.
And I would like to just say quickly, we're ending our season with a really important and wonderful work by a contemporary composer who died a few years ago, Stephen Paulus. This work is called To Be Certain of the Dawn, and it's a Holocaust oratorio. And we will be performing with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia, with the Philadelphia Boys Choir, Singing City, some wonderful soloists, and it's a very powerful and important work, and we're really looking forward to that as well, and that's coming up in May. But all this information is on our website.
Is there a certain style of music, or I guess I'm not really sure what to call it, a certain sound like opera or like, you know, just is there a certain a style that you guys focus on?
It's tricky with choral music because, you know, the thing that describes it is the people that do it. You could have one person who's singing in an opera will sound very different than somebody who's singing at like a pop concert.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's really interesting about choral music is that there's with that many people, you can really adapt the sound to what you're doing. And so if people are interested in what a choir sounds like, I would encourage them to come to a concert.
And actually on your website, I was browsing around and they have a few samples that of past concerts that they have posted up there. So you can go and watch a few clips or listen to a couple of samples and hear how beautiful they really sound. But I wanted to switch gears real quick. You guys were the 2019 recipients of
an award from Chorus America that recognizes our commitment to diversity, and that is something that we have always been committed to. And Chorus America is a national organization for choirs of every description, and we are members of Chorus America. And it's a great honor to have received this award because this is something that we strive for all the time, and that we're always working on, and always have been. And so to get this recognition feels right and is just very special for us.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, okay. And their annual convention was here in Philadelphia back in June, and so Jeff and I were there to receive the award, which was great.
Okay.
So it just sounds like you guys are doing like great work around diversity and social justice issues. How do you feel about singing impacting the community?
Well, I don't think any of us believe that, you know, singing is going to save the world by itself. But I think that those of us in the choir who've been at this for a while and even new singers, I mean, you make a connection with people. Through the arts are a way that you can connect people. It breaks down everything. And music is just a wonderful way. It's an avenue for helping people to understand that we have a lot more in common than is different about us. We were in Mexico this summer for a tour, and we performed at in Mexico City on the Zocalo. There was a rally for dreamers who've been deported. People who grew up here, who came here as young children, and were sent back, who don't speak Spanish, who don't have family, or, you know, they have no
connection.
And so this rally was consisted of a lot of young people getting up and doing reading poetry they'd written or spoken word or essays, and the whole thing ended with our coming up to sing. And, you know, we don't all speak Spanish in the choir, and a lot of the people in this big crowd, you know, don't speak English, and it didn't matter. None of it mattered, because we got up and we sang, and we all sang together, and it was very powerful. And those are the moments you realize that you can change people's minds sometimes. You can change people's hearts. Even our tour guide, who was a retired doctor and who, you know, still does some research work and that kind of thing. And he was sort of dispassionate during the trip, but, you know, telling us a lot of history and we're teaching us about the places we were visiting. And he said after that rally and our singing and seeing what was happening with the crowd, that even he was moved to tears. Because he finally, and this was towards the end of the tour, but he said, I finally sort of got it. You know, I understood what you were,
wow,
what you were doing. And we had young people coming up and hugging Jeff at the end of a concert and saying, we hope that you see that we're not like what some people say we are.
Right.
So So I think, you know, those are the things that keep you going and make you say, yes, this work is important and we want to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
That is great. So I just want to say thank you, Cortland and Lauren, for coming by. We really enjoyed your time here.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. Could you give, before we go, people your information one more time if they want to reach out and connect with you guys?
I would encourage anybody interested in learning more about Singing City to check our website. It's very comprehensive. That is www.singingcity.org. If you want to call us, that's fine too. I love talking on the phone. Our number there is 267-519-5322. And like I said, I'm here most mornings and I love to talk.
And you can also find us on Facebook.
All right, so thank you guys again for coming by. We enjoyed your time. You've been listening to the Friends on 15 podcast from Friend Center, the Quaker Center for Peace and Justice in Philadelphia. Check us out on our website, www.friendcentercorp.org, or call us at 215-241-7100. If you'd like to host your event or be a part of our community here, come check us out. Call us, email us. Visit our website. And thanks again to Lauren and Cortland for coming by.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
It's been amazing. We learned a lot about Singing City. And we hope you continue to do the great work that you're doing in the community and impacting the folks through song. So I normally have a quote for y'all, but I found this from Ellen and I thought it was hilarious. So hopefully y'all find it funny too. So it says, have you ever heard somebody sing some lyrics that you've never sung before and you realize you've never sung the right words in that song? You hear them and all of a sudden you say to yourself, life in the fast lane? That's what they're saying right there? You think? Why have I been saying wipe in the Vaseline? How many people have heard me sing wipe in the Vaseline? I'm an idiot. So I feel like I've been there before, and it's hilarious.
Definitely sang the wrong lyrics before, continuously, until I heard someone else sing the right ones.
So I hope y'all find that funny. Again, song is just a way of togetherness. I think we can all agree that it impacts the community a lot, and we all feel a movement and a sense of freedom when we can just sing. Even if you don't know how to sing, as Cortland said, we all know how to sing, but it's just like, It's a feeling that you get when you can come together and have song with people. So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, guys. See you next time.
Bye. Thank you.